please turn to Isaiah chapter 43. The title of my message this morning is No to Copy and Paste. And as we unpack the word, it'll become clearer and clearer. But the thread of the meeting this morning, very interesting, is that pre-service prayer meeting, what we prayed into in that prayer meeting, the words that have come, the worship, the songs that we have sung, just seems to be this thread of God calling us to come nearer to Him into a place of freedom, into a freedom space. And I'm just going to anchor something of that this morning in Isaiah chapter 43, and you can read with me from verses 26 to 21. This is what the Lord says. This is not a word of man. It's not just the after effects of a pizza or a bad pasta. This is God speaking to His people. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, and he's referencing now, Prophet Isaiah is referencing the freedom that God brought a nation when he brought them out of Egypt. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. He says, forget, God speaking says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? See, I am doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide. God says, I provide. I provide. Water in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This portion of scripture has a context, and we can read it from God speaking to his people, the nation of Judah, which we'll look at now, 600 years before Christ. But equally, it has a prophetic, friends, utterance where God is speaking to us and showing us that in him we can have life and life to the full. We don't need to be bound by things of the past. We don't need to be bound by our setbacks and our failings, the mistakes that we make as we journey this walk of life. It is possible to live in freedom. And so 600 years before Christ, this word comes to a nation, comes to Judah. And they are exiled. They're in captivity, under captive to the Babylonian Empire. They've been conquered by a people. God has handed them over to the Babylonians because they were a rebellious people. They were people who disobeyed God and His word. And He says, by your choices that you have made, I'm going to give you over to a people to conquer you. God doesn't force us to do anything. We have free will choice. And because of the rebellion and because of the disobedience, they sit in this context of being captive to the Babylonians. It is tough being a conquered people, physically suffering, economically suffering, culturally suffering, spiritually suffering. They've lost sight of their God and they find themselves in the state because of their own disobedience, choices that they have made. And so their choices have resulted them in being a conquered nation. This is a context for us to understand these words that Isaiah brings. This is a context that these words come. And yet in the midst of this, they have made these choices. They find themselves in this difficult place, but God speaks and He gives hope. He says, despite your choices, despite the place that you find yourself in, there is hope. You can have life. And He points them to this life that comes through God. He points them to a new beginning. He points them to an invitation that comes from the Father Himself. Come to a fresh start. Life doesn't have to be like this. Yes, you blew it once. Yes, you made mistakes. Yes, you ran from me. You made some bad choices, but it doesn't have to be like this. This is the context of this scripture. And we read this scripture for ourselves this morning. At the start of a new year, same invitation spoken 600 years before Christ. The same invitation, the same promise is held out to all of us. That's the nature of our Father, eternally gracious, eternally loving, eternally kind, eternally full of mercy. You can trust a God like that, can't you? He speaks this promise through centuries to many, many people. This hope is what God wants to hold out to us at the start of a new year, 2019. If last year was a challenge, and I've engaged with people, I don't know that I want to experience some of what I experienced last year. Had mountain moments, had valley moments. But I know God says, I don't want you to drag your valley moments through into this year, 2019. In other words, don't copy and paste your negative, bad experiences, your setbacks, the mistakes you made. Don't drag them into 2019. It doesn't have to be like that. You don't have to drag 2018 with all of its disappointments into 2019. Life can be different. In God, we have an opportunity for a new beginning, a fresh start. So when Isaiah utters these words, as I said, they're not the words of man. They are a divine echo, a trumpeting that comes from heaven. God's words, where God says, this is what the Lord says. This is God speaking. He's addressing. Isaiah is simply just the mouthpiece of heaven. He's addressing the hearers on behalf of God. And as he speaks these words, he is presenting to the hearers of this truth the character reference of God. In these words, you can see God. In these words, you can hear God. In these words, you can experience the grace and the mercy of God. This God who is mighty, this God who is powerful, doesn't matter what you're experiencing. Yes, your decisions and your choices brought you to this place of captivity, but I can free you, God says. And as I freed this nation, Judah, from the clutches of Egypt, I can free you from the hands of the Babylonians. And this morning, if you're sitting bound and you find yourself in a prison, those words that came, God says, I can do something about it. I can do something about your circumstance. I can do something about your situation. And if you experienced that all of last year, today I can do something about it. And I'm willing and I'm able and I want to. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? That's a promise of hope that is held out. And so God reminds Judah of how he made a way through the sea for them, how he obliterated the Egyptian army that was pursuing him, destroyed the chariots, the horses, and the army, and he demonstrated his power over the forces of nature and military might. And if God can do that, surely he can do that for us today. Great things. Friends, this is what the Lord says. This highlighting what he did through the Exodus is not a nostalgic trip down memory lane. He is reminding them of the faithfulness and the power of God. And at times, when times are difficult and we're going through really trying circumstances, these words give hope. These words hold out a promise. And these words of God, if we will apply them, if we will look to him and we will put our hope and our trust in him, we can live free. Amen? In a time of extreme hardship, hope is held out. Verses 18 and 19, God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. We want to make that relevant for us. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. If 2018 was tough, see, I'm doing a new thing. Today, sir, ma'am, you have an opportunity to experience a fresh, new dose of grace and faithfulness from the Father. What God is saying is, he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He is stirring up the imagination of the people. He's giving them hope. And when we read that for ourselves, God is, I trust, stirring our hearts, showing us the hope that we have through his Son, Jesus Christ. Life experiences don't have to be the same. Life can be different. A new beginning, a fresh start is possible. That's what God is saying to us. A wise person said this, that God's words, do not dwell in the past, see, is a divine command. It's not like see and look away. Like see and choose. It's a divine command. Look around or you'll miss the future being born. And I think it's a relevant command for us this year. You know, God is more interested in our future than he is in our past. God is more interested in our future than he is in our past. And being interested in our future, he offers us a fresh start. He offers us a new beginning. He offers us a spacious place where life can be different with fresh rhythms, with new things to experience in Him. No more same old, same old. And yet, why is it that we seem to drag? I said to the guys earlier is that I don't preach about making new resolutions. I'm about let's grab a hold of the handles that we see in Scripture that enable us to experience new things in God. Because I find it's difficult to keep new resolutions. We make them and we just don't follow them sometimes. Sorry, what's that? All the time. Okay, you do it too. Thank you, Gwen. He's more interested in our future than our past. And He's not wanting us to copy and paste the previous year into this year. God says, I'm doing a new thing. And if you haven't heard it this morning, you're going to hear it now again. And you will hear it for the rest of this year, that there is no life apart from Jesus Christ. He is the source of life. My mom passed away. The last words, really, she spoke to me when I spoke to her on Christmas Day and I phoned her to see how she was doing. She says, I'm doing okay. I'm tired. I'm sore. And I don't know what I would do without Jesus. Amazing. It's like, as far as I can remember, that's her testimony, is that there is no life apart from Jesus. Didn't have money. Health was failing. But I've got Jesus. That's important. Can I say that things might be difficult, but we have Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that they may have life. And not just itsy bitsy life. Life to the full. The fullness of Jesus, who He is, what He's done, is available to us who believe in Him. And He says, this life can be yours today, sir, ma'am. Doesn't matter what you experienced last year. No matter what difficulties, setbacks, mistakes. He says, you can have life and life to the full now, this year. Right now. And we are encouraged this morning to look to Him. We are encouraged to surrender our lives to Him. We encourage friends through this word that comes from Isaiah is to entrust our lives to Him because there is no life apart from Him. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Can I say it for the third time? Only Jesus. Through the power of His word and the life-giving flow of His Spirit can make all things new. Only Jesus. And so to break old patterns, to allow the Spirit of God, to allow the active working of His word in our hearts and lives, we need to see this morning that there is no life apart from Him. It requires a personal response to God's command, saying, Lord, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to open my heart to the divine working of Your grace. I'm going to give us four handles and then we'll land. Four handles that help us navigate into life, into spacious places. And I'm going to be brief. I'm not going to be long with them. So, first one is live without excuses. Live without excuses. The greatest hindrance to embracing a fresh start in Jesus, to walk in new things, is to live as a victim of our circumstances. Well, my circumstance won't change because. I can't because. And we offer up all sorts of excuses why we won't walk into new spaces. I want to say that God is bigger than any circumstance we face. And here we see it in Isaiah, a people captive, conquered, extreme hardship. And again, God's grace, they took themselves there. But by His grace, He still wants to do something about it. And if we live our lives, well, that's my lot. We offer up all sorts of excuses why it should be our lot. We will never, ever walk into the spaciousness of what God wants and has for us. Instead of contending for the inheritance which releases life, we make excuses why we can't. And we live as victims. The only way to break a victim mentality, friends, is to look upon the majesty and the greatness and the power of God. And that's what Isaiah does for this nation that are conquered in the midst of their hardship. And I'm sure there must have been a lot of wailing and groaning and moaning and that. And Isaiah says that remember this God who delivered and rescued your forefathers out of Egypt. He can do the same for you, see. Why do break a victim mentality, a walk into spaciousness is not to live as a victim of our circumstances, but to see the mighty hand of God that is wanting to work in your life. You know, making excuses is often our go-to because it's the path of least resistance. It's easier to make an excuse and say, I can't, than saying, okay, I'm going to contend for what God has for me. Can I say that an inheritance comes through contending for? It's not just, you know, you put your R1 in and you pull the wheel and like an ATM, you put your card in and you withdraw. Take some work. We see that with Israel. We see that with Joshua leading the people. Had to contend for their faith. Had to fight a little bit. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, New Living Translation. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. It's a wonderful proverb that, isn't it? If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Our strength is small, friends. But we have one who is mighty in power. And if we try to engage in our circumstances, the tough times that we have in our own strength, the limitations of our abilities, we will fail because our strength is too small. But we have one who is great, who is almighty, who is powerful, whose hand of power and grace has been over generations, delivering people, setting them free, breaking chains, opening prisons, shaking the foundations of the earth, and that God wants to do the same for you. I just believe this morning, if that is you, God saying, stop making excuses about your circumstances and begin to look to me. And we contend for what God has for us through the power of His Holy Spirit, and we contend with the power of His truth, His word. That's how we fight. He's given us weapons with which to wage war for our inheritance. We need to use them, to exercise them. Secondly, a handle to help us navigate this year. Examine your life. Evaluate. Good thing to do at the beginning of the year. Don't just rush headlong into it. Take some time to evaluate. Galatians chapter 3, verse 4. Paul, the apostle, again, out of the New Living Translation. This is what Paul says. He says, have you experienced so much for nothing? Speaking to a people that knew God, walked with Jesus. He says, have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? Friends, there are some lessons that we would have learned last year which will help us. There are some mistakes that we made last year. If we keep on making them, they'll be unhelpful. It's good to evaluate and say what worked in God, what was unhelpful. What was unhelpful I'm going to leave behind. Forgetting what is behind us, strain ahead. The upward call of God. That's out of Philippians, I think, chapter 3. Just do a simple evaluation and purpose. And I'm not going to make the same mistakes this year. That which took me out of the presence, out of the life of God, maybe sometimes out of fellowship even, maybe the mistakes that I made in my marriage, maybe the mistakes I made at work, I'm not going to make them this year because I want life. So I'm going to choose that which is good, that which is honorable. Amen? The definition of insanity, keep on doing the same thing, expecting different results. Can't keep on doing what we did last year, expecting different results this year. Needs to be a change. So how about an honest evaluation of last year's patterns? How about an honest evaluation of last year's decisions? Identify what needs to change in order for us to experience more of God and His life flow. And again, change that which is in your power to change by choice. That which you can't. Circumstances beyond your control, trust God to change that. And I'll talk a little bit about that now. Thirdly, a handle to hold on to. Negotiate or traverse this year to experience and enjoy the life of God is to step out in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says, Book of Hebrews. I'm wanting to ask, what's your expectation for 2019? Same old or something new? Same old or something different? If you ask for something and expect nothing, you will get nothing. Those are wise words. But that's a reality. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 30, a wonderful story. Two blind men, being blind, And I'm sure they wanted to see. I'm sure they wanted to experience the beauty of God's creation. I'm sure they wanted to see each other. I don't know if they were married. I'm sure they wanted to see their wife if they were, or the kids if they had them. But they were blind. I don't know why they were blind, but this is what the Bible records, that as Jesus went from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Interesting, they followed Jesus. They didn't sit at home and say, "Well, I'm blind, that's my lot for life." They had an expectation that if I want to see, I need to call out to the one who is able to do something about my circumstance, my situation. And what they did, they didn't just sit and wait for it to happen. They followed Jesus. Jesus heard their expectation expressed. And he did something about them. He responded to the faith that they had. And they were healed. They followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" They had expectation in their hearts. They had faith. They had a faith root. This is their response. "Yes, Lord," they replied. "Yes, Lord," there's expectation. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Isn't that amazing? According to your faith, let it done to you. Maybe sometimes we're walking around this mountain, same old, and we're wondering, why can't it be different? Maybe our faith is too small. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Interesting, these blind men weren't paralyzed by their circumstances. Woe is me, pity party, wah, wah, wah. Actually, I'm going to press into the one who can do something about it. By faith, I'm going to walk into that space and trust him. They had a faith expectation. And I think we can tend to go through life, friends, holding on to our old disappointments. I believe we can go through life holding on to our old failures. I believe we can go through life holding on to an old vision. I believe we can even go through life holding on to an old success. Got the t-shirt, been there, done that. God's saying, behold, I'm wanting to do a new thing. I'm wanting to do a new thing. We wear those like an old comfortable blanket, a comfortable old shoe that we don't want to throw away. Maybe it's time to throw away that old comfortable shoe and experience something new, something that pinches a little bit. The runners all say, "No, thank you." Just a prophetic picture. I really do. I feel some folk in this building need to throw away that old shoe, whatever that would represent for you. Become too comfortable. It's outlived its purpose. God's saying, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. I want to give you something new, some new spiritual footwear to wear. Maybe a new vision, a new dream. Enough of the same old, same old." You see, the same old keeps us paralyzed, unable to move into new experiences in God. 2019 is a year of refocus. I believe to engage the new in God, to step out in faith, we need to have our minds renewed. This year can be different. We need to have our minds renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul again speaks about the renewing of our mind. I love this translation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, New Living Translation. But Paul writes, he says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In other words, let him change the way that we think, not dragging last year's same old into this year. Let's approach this year with a new way of thinking. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I believe that the renewing of our mind is not just like some mystical thing that happens. I believe the renewing of our mind comes by the Word of God, reading His truth, His Word. It's reading His Word. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to take that truth that we read and to settle it and cement it in the heart so that it produces the fruit for which it was intended. How can we embrace a new year, new things in God? How can we break the patterns of last year's living if they were unhelpful without having our minds renewed? New vision, stirred by the Word of God. New patterns, behavior, stirred by the Word of God. New dreams, stirred by the Word of God. New behavior, stirred by the Word of God. Obedience to it under the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Cannot do it without. Amen? And then lastly, trust. We can't do life on our own. And so here we have this nation, this tribe of Judah under captivity. They tried to do life on their own. They made some decisions that gratified them. And where did it get them? Conquered people, captivity. So we know from experience that when left to ourselves, we are doomed to fail. God speaks to Judah through the prophet Isaiah. He says that your choices have put you in a precarious place, but I'm willing to deliver you and to free you from that space. I'm willing to bring freedom to a conquered people. Friends, we are not alone. We are not alone. We have one, Jesus Christ, in whom we can put our hope and we can put our trust, who is sufficient in every way according to every need we have. Please turn to Isaiah verses 11, and I'll end with a scripture, verses 2 to 3. Isaiah describing this Jesus that we sing about, this Jesus that we read about, this Jesus that we proclaim to love and to honor above all else. This is what Isaiah says about him. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom. In Jesus is the Spirit of wisdom. In these days, friends, we need the Spirit of wisdom because we know that the wisdom of man only leads to destruction. Amen? The Spirit of counsel. I've tried to make decisions and I've done choices on my own and I've bumped my head and it's been painful. We need the counsel of our Lord Jesus Christ and of might. I know that in myself, I am weak. There's some things I cannot change. There's some things I cannot influence, but there is one who is stronger, who is mighty, who created this world that we live in and sustains it everything by sustains it all by his mighty hand. That hand is available to us. That power is available to us, the hand of God. The Spirit of knowledge, we need knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Let us this year, friends, walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Let us press into the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. Let us trust and depend in the Spirit of counsel and might. Let us live life under the inspiration of the Spirit of knowledge. Let us walk in the fear of the Lord, and then we will delight in him. And that delighting in him is living in spaces that are spacious and free, liberated to enjoy the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ and walk in his will and purpose and every good thing he has for us. Don't copy and paste 2018 into 2019. Do what we did last year and expect different results this year. Let's apply these four things to the way we live our lives. We will live in the fullness of the life that Jesus holds out to us.